The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Over the past few days, we've been focusing on events in Venezuela and the capture of the now deposed president Nicolas Maduro and his wife. But this news has helped to bring conditions in Venezuela into some focus for the rest of the world. Conditions on the ground continue to be unpredictable, with the Maduro regime essentially intact, but without him at the helm. Jeannie Maiteze is a Venezuelan-Irish chef who's been watching events from afar, but also attempting to make contact with friends and family back in Venezuela. And Jeannie joins me now in studio. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
What are you hearing from your former home?
It is very complicated, the situation at the moment. And then it's a lot of fear and a lot of mixed feelings. For one side, there is joy and rejoice, but we cannot really be in contact with many of our family members and friends, as there's a lot of fear as they monitor any social media or any type of communication in the power right now.
Now, it's interesting. You think maybe Maduro's regime was listening in to any conversation you might have on the telephone, but it's not just the Maduro regime.
No.
There are other listeners too. Who are they?
Yes, for many, many years and many decades right now, for more than two decades, we have Cubans, we have Russians, we have the Chinese. We're highly sophisticated, as we know, and Iranians as well. So they are monitor everything from the army to the police to communication to media. They control everything.
So if you were to write something on a social media post that was hostile to the regime, what might happen to you?
It doesn't even need to be hostile. I can send a message right now to somebody in Venezuela asking about the situation, and they can go into jail, imprisoned, and torture.
Simply because they have been contacted by someone from outside. So you have to be very careful when you make contact. So how do you get information back?
For most of us, I think everybody trying to find a way to communicate in a kind of secretive way. So you have to be constantly deleting everything in your phone if you are in Venezuela. But that doesn't guarantee that they are monitoring phone calls. People are very afraid from phone calls, WhatsApp, any social media, any type of communication, emails. Everything has been recorded, as we know, and it's been well documented. When they have captured people, they know everything, where they've been, if they talk in the college or in the university, say something wrong. Your neighbors are monitoring you now. They might be working for the government, and they can tell to the police or what they call the National Guard.
Why did you leave Venezuela, 26 years ago?
26 years ago, I'm here. I'm very lucky to be in Ireland, safe, as my family wanted me to be. When Chavez came into power in 1998, he won the elections. By 1999, the country changed very rapidly. He changed the constitution. He changed the laws. And everything changed very quickly and very hostile. Many Cubans were brought into Venezuela to train the army, to train the police, and even the hospitals are run by Cubans. So if you're not a Chavista, you cannot get medical treatment in the Chavista hospitals. So I could see a very quick change and hostile it was getting. My family was really worried. So they sent me over to London to learn English. Mm-hmm. But London wasn't for me. I was too young. And then changed my classes to Galway City. And it was just perfect. I made friends. This is my family now, and this is my home now. So I'm here safe.
But
now,
it was the arrival of Hugo Chavez that precipitated your departure from
100%.
Venezuela.
Yeah, 100%.
Now, the way the regime has been characterized, initially it was suggested that the Chavez government would actually try to make things better, that poor people would get a break, that the oil monies would actually do good for the country. But very quickly, it changed.
Yeah, we all believe, as anybody would like to believe, that there was going to be a huge change. And even here in Ireland, I know there's a lot of big support for Chavez and the Socialist Party. But we will have to understand it is not a Socialist Party. It's communism disguised as a socialism. And that we saw that very quickly. The poor people are not getting any better. They're getting worse. There's just no medicine. There's no food. There's people, older people living on mangoes, like we see apple trees. And it was well known that we make billions and billions. It's one of the richest countries in the hemisphere in America, and it doesn't make any sense that we don't have food or medical supplies for our own people. So for 27 years now, it's the same mafia in the power that we have to understand.
Now, when we heard that the leader of the opposition in exile had won the Nobel Peace Prize, it would seem apparent that if Maduro was toppled, that she would take over. But Trump has now said, no, she's not fit to take over.
Yeah, we don't know, because she won, well, they won the election in 2024, in summer of 2024, with 90% of the votes. So we talk, we went for protests, we went everywhere. Nobody wants to hear us. All the international entities, nobody wants to hear. We were invisible to the world all these years while our friends and families have been tortured, killed, imprisoned, disappeared. So we were invisible until now. So I don't know what's going to happen. We are all, as Venezuelans are so well used to, uncertainty or fear. And this is the first time we have a little bit of joy, but we don't know what's going to happen. We hope that is the first thing is to free the political prisoners who are being tortured as we're sitting down here right now. My heart goes out to all their families. While we're here sitting on comfortably in peace. So all we want is for the prisoners to be released first and no people to be hurt in Venezuela anymore and have a democratic change.
Now, I've been looking at some of the footage of the former vice president, now the acting president of Venezuela. This is Delcy Rodriguez.
Yes.
And it shows her, you know, dancing with people in the villages, and that she's known affectionately, they say, by her first name, by everybody, Delcy. A bit like Michael D, you know. He's known as Michael D. He's affectionately known. So that question of her, where she stands, I mean, is she still in her heart a diehard communist, or is the suspicion that she's made some deal with Trump?
Much respect and love to Michael D. I will never put him in the same category of these people. This is a mafia in the power who have brainwashed.
Including Delcy Rodriguez.
Yes. Yes. She is one of the main heads. They have ordered tortures to many, many thousands of Venezuelans. We have to understand the elderly, the parents went out protesting and they started getting killed, disappeared, kidnapped. Then the young from the universities start coming out and trying to get back to a new Venezuela. It never happened. Once the students start getting killed in the university, then the teenagers out of high school come out and children from primary school, because we couldn't live anymore in the situation where we were. And nobody saw what we were going through for many years. So these people are a narco regime. It is a dictatorship. If you put it together, it's a narco dictatorship. It's a mafia in the power. This is not a politics. This is not any more than a real humanitarian crisis.
How corrupt is the entire system? I mean, are judges corrupt? Are the police corrupt?
Yeah, 100%. You cannot trust the police. You cannot trust the National Guards. I have a personal story of a friend of mine. She had to go outside the country to get medicine for her grandmother. And all she had, the very little money she had medicine in that suitcase. When she came back in the airport, the first thing they done, they just put her in a room, got her naked, asked her for money if she had any dollars. And these are police and National Guards. They're supposed to keep us safe. They asked her who she support. They check all her phone. She was retained there in jail as she haven't done anything. And they stole everything from her, humiliated her. We don't know what else happened to her because she's really traumatized from this experience. So you cannot trust the police. Nationalists, you have zero rights in Venezuela, whether you are with the Chavism or whether you are not with the government. Nobody dares to say something wrong or do something wrong that doesn't please
the
power.
The Americans, some people are saying the reason that they're doing what they're doing is that when they went into Iraq, they abolished the Ba'ath Party, the whole security infrastructure fell apart, and it led to the destruction of Iraq, really, socially and every other way. I mean, those of us who watched that at the time felt the Americans played it all wrong. They should have fixed the hospitals, fixed the power supply, told people life is going to get better, and they might have had success. But they're saying that we don't want to make the same mistake we made in Iraq by abolishing the police force
100%.
Or abolishing the army. So if all of these people are corrupt, how do you bring about change?
That is the thing, because in 2024, when people thought finally we're going to have a democratic change, everybody that support that, even militaries, are people that were work for the government, they did not want to work for the government. They disappear, kidnap, and torture. So what do you tell Venezuelans now to do? How much bravery and resilience can they have when we have lost everybody and anybody? So I don't think the Iraq situation will ever apply to Venezuela. Please God, I wish not. If you ask me, am I a supporter of Trump? No, I'm not. Do I support any nation to invade another nation? No, I don't. But this is a narco regime. We're not talking about a president or the leader of a country. This is a mafia in power, very dangerous mafia for the whole American continent and for Europe.
I'll read you some of the texts coming in. Listening to you, your guest from Venezuela, just reminds us how important democracy and human rights are and why we have to be on the lookout for political parties who are not committed to both of those principles. Another one, I'm a Venezuelan living in Ireland. We understand that Trump's actions were not legal and I don't align with him as president, but most of us don't really care. After decades of dictatorship marked by repression, human rights abuses, starvation, fear and death, we exhausted every legal path to remove the regime, but without success. Now, for the first time in a long while, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Even if the road ahead is long, there is hope. This is when we most need the support of the international community to help ensure a transition to the legitimately elected democratic leader.
100%. I stand by those words one by one. I think for anybody who's listening to this, if you know a Venezuelan, if you care for Venezuela, the underdogs are the Venezuelan people. It's not the government that was in power. So by you supporting, posting something in social media, going and protesting without knowing the situation, you might be supporting a really horrible, brutal regime who's killing people as we speak right now, who are making sure to torture and make people disappear because they don't want to be found out what they have been doing for more than two decades.
This is the problem. So many of them have so much to lose if the regime changes.
Yeah. So this is not about political ideologies. This is really a humanitarian crisis at this moment. If you do really care to support, because I know Irish people are so good at helping others, do ask the Venezuelan people how they feel, but don't tell them how to think, how they can support them. Ask them how they can support them, but don't tell them how to feel or think right now. This is the very first time in 27 years of suffering and pain that we have a little bit of hope and a little bit of joy. So please don't dim that light for us. Just help us.
I think that text put it right. You know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. It may be a long, long tunnel, but the light is there, the light of hope.
When we haven't seen any of it for many years.
Jeannie, thank you very much for joining us in studio today. I really appreciate that. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.